Hello. Welcome to the special call-in show with District 38 Representative Zach Fansler. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. We are more than a third of the way through the statutory 90 days state lawmakers have to pass policies that will affect all of our lives in Alaska. And this live call-in show is a chance for you, the constituents of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, to ask your questions and voice your comments to Representative Fansler, who is joining us from his office in Juneau. Hi, Representative Fansler. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, you're welcome. Good morning, everyone, good to be talking to you.
If you're in Bethel, join the conversation by calling 543-5985. If you're in the villages or outside Bethel, call toll-free at 1-800-995-8954 or send us an email at radio@kyuk.org. Okay, we only have 30 minutes here, so let's get started with an update on House Bill 115, the House's solution to the state's fiscal situation. This bill would restructure how the state generates revenue by creating a state income tax and drawing from the permanent fund earnings reserve to fund state operations and pay for Alaskans' permanent fund dividend. Are there any updates to report?
There are not really any updates at this time to report on HB 115. It's going to be put onto the floor at some point here pretty soon, I believe. By and large, it remained intact from what it originally appeared as. I certainly want to thank everyone for their testimony, anyone that called in regarding it. Currently, I think what the Finance Committee is really working on is the operating budget. And I want to stress that tomorrow at 9 a.m. Is the Bethel time to call in. So if you're in Bethel or in the surrounding villages and can get to Bethel, going to the LIO at 9 a.m. is the thing to do. The operating budget really is what programs are being funded, and it also ties in directly to 115 because 115 kind of provides the mechanisms for funding for the operating budget. So we have a lot of big things that are out there, and it's important that I think people come and get their voices heard. If you're not there and able to make it into Bethel and you're a little bit further out, there are off-net times. There's an off-net time tomorrow, and we strongly recommend that our region make its voice heard.
And we have a caller on the line. We have Mary calling from Bethel.
Yes.
Hi, Mary. What's your question?
Oh, I have a question about the funding, and you know, like taxation, and my concern is always that those of us who are on a very, very fixed income, how that will affect our hardship, things like that, and some comments to make.
Hi, Mary, and good to hear from you, and that's a great question. Let me be really, really clear about this. The income tax that is currently in 115 is based on 15% of what you would pay on your federal income tax. And now, federal income tax, obviously, it's a very difficult thing to sum up in a couple sentences, but it's a tax that has tax brackets in it, and the federal income tax does not tax you if you make under a certain amount. So what that means is if your federal liability is zero, then your state liability would also be zero. So myself and my office, we are very, very aware of the idea of an unfair tax that would place this burden on our elders or those of us who are on a fixed income. We've been working very hard to make sure that we have a tax that is fairly going to those who can afford it. And right now, the way that 115 is written, That's the way the tax is structured, and that's why we're supportive of that.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing, Seth, that I never like, and I say this because it doesn't affect me only, it affects a lot of other people, is that even though we're on Medicaid, we often have to pay out of our own pocket to make our appointments to Anchorage. And then while there, again, even Medicaid could place us somewhere that Medicaid will pay for our room and board, we end up paying out of our own pocket. And I just can never see why, I don't know, they say that it's easier for a single person monetarily than a large family. It's the other way around. And another thing I never like when it comes to sexual abuse and assault and harassment population that are imprisoned is that, like those of us who have been in the past victims of these things, why do they take out of our permanent fund to pay for their treatment? And again, that's not right. They should work to pay for their own treatment. I mean, this is why I think so many criminalities go on, because there's always an excuse for them. Somebody's making excuses for them. Am I making any sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that, Mary. You know, I think that what my office is always trying to do is make sure that we have systems in place that are fair and equitable, whether it comes to health insurance or treatment for drug and alcohol abuse. And when it comes to health care and health insurance, we're very supportive of the Medicaid expansion that has happened. We're supportive of programs that make it easier for everyone to get the services that they need. And that doesn't just include being able to, say, go to the hospital and get a procedure done, but that also includes if you're coming in from a village to Bethel, or you're going from somewhere to Anchorage to get a procedure, making sure that you have a place to stay, helping set that up, making sure that you have transportation and your transportation's covered, and making sure that you're able to get back home in a proper manner. As for drug and alcohol rehabilitation projects, we're very, very supportive of those. I firmly believe that it's important that we make sure that we are properly funding through the state level, and that's why I support HB 115. We need revenue to support programs that are going to help our those of us that are suffering from this illness get help, and we want to make sure that people have access to these programs, so that they can do them, whether it's in Bethel or whether it's in Anchorage or wherever it needs to be, so that they can get the help they need, so that they can help fight that addiction and get back to living their life with their family and everyone else. So yeah.
Mary, thank you so much for calling. We have another caller on the line. We have John Carter calling from EEC.
Yes, come on. This is John Carter. I'm calling from EEC.
Mm-hmm. Yes, John.
Two questions in one complete sentence. And that is, does or before PFD earnings to be used to fund the state of Alaska, does it due to physical deficit, should the public hearing be held all over the state of Alaska, or the second question, or two-thirds vote with the Senate in the House without the state of government's approval. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. I will paraphrase those so I make sure I understand them. But, John, what I think that you're getting at, the first one is, will there be hearings everywhere in the state of Alaska about using the permanent fund? There have been hearings. They're not necessarily held in person. They are for everyone in Eek and our surrounding villages. The way that you get into those meetings is you call on what's called the off-net numbers. We have published those when we've had big hearings. You're certainly more than welcome to call my office at any time. We put those out in e-newsletter blasts. We put them on the Facebook page, we put them on the website. We try to get that number out as much as possible, and that is every citizen's opportunity to be able to be heard. For your second question, is John still on there? Maybe can I get a slight clarification on that?
John has hung up.
Okay, so I think, and I'm going to interpret this, which is probably not a smart thing to do, but I think he was talking about the two-thirds vote that might be needed for the legislature to borrow from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. And if you've been following along with some of the things that have been happening, the plan that is currently proposed by our coalition is a plan that will not require us to make a draw on the Constitutional Budget Reserve. And what that means is the plan does not need to take out of our savings, which is a plan that is essentially a balanced budget. And there has been, some discussion as to eliminates certain factions that are not in the majority coalition from being able to negotiate. That's not, in my mind, the situation. We're still very much in the budget process. Folks are still very much able to negotiate on everyone down here, all 40 of us in the House and 20 of the senators. So it's an ongoing thing that continues, and we're at this point it's just a proposed budget that goes through, needs to be passed through the House, and then the House would send theirs over to the Senate, and the Senate has several proposals that they're sending over to us. So at this point, the hope is not to use that two-thirds you need to borrow from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. The hope is to have a balanced budget that is self-sustaining.
And you're listening to a live call-in show with Representative Zach Fansler. Join the conversation if you're in Bethel by calling 543-5985. If you're outside Bethel, call toll-free 1-800-995-8954 or email radio@kyuk.org. Our next caller is Howard from Bethel. Hi, Howard.
Hello. Hi. My question is about corrections, law enforcement, and the judicial system in this part of the state. We've got a lot of people in custody that, they spend days and weeks, months, sometimes years, in corrections, and there's nothing for them when they get out, and they, it's just a revolving door for a lot of them, because there is nothing for them, and there's nothing in the jails or the system that could help these guys do a job out in the real world, and it costs thousands of dollars to feed these people, clean them, make sure they're healthy, and all this stuff like that. Is the Juno working to change this, or is it still going to be the same year after year?
Howard, thank you for your question. That's another great question. It always impresses me how well-informed our callers are. This is definitely something that that we're working on down here. You know, I co-chair the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, and our budget subcommittees for finance were the Department of Corrections and the Department of Public Safety. And we definitely, I definitely understand this problem. You know, we've got a lot of folks that, you know, are and part of this was addressed by SB 91 in the past, and we need to see its implementation a little bit more before we know exactly what's working and what's not. But we have seen a lot of people that are spending, you know, days and weeks and months in jail, longer in some cases than the time that they could actually, you know, be convicted of. And very much the points of SB 91 were to make sure that our low-risk, low-level offenders were not rotting away in jail. So I fully understand that that's not happening. We have a major, major disparity that runs along the lines of Native people that are incarcerated. It's to me a major, major flaw and issue with the system, and it is something that I fought hard in our budget subcommittee process to make sure that that is recognized. We're very much pushing to see electronic monitoring being used in Bethel. We are one of the communities where it's not being used, and it's something that I think we should do. As for those of us that are, you know, maybe as you mentioned, coming in and out and coming in and out of the corrections system, what's very important as well, and this is where we get back to making sure we have funding for these kind of programs, is making sure that we have work reentry programs where you know, you don't just finish serving your sentence and then get out with a goodbye and good luck, but you end up having a program that can help you reintegrate into society and reclaim your life. If we're not having those kinds of programs, then we're going to see a lot of recidivism like we see. So,
like you said, when we get out, there's not probably not out of 300 that are in the jail there. Not any of them know how to set a net under the ice or, you know, even subsistence anymore. You know, it's all food stamps and you know, let's get a card and let's go get something to eat. You know, it's not helping. When you give stuff like that and then they don't have no other way of going out there, not giving their energy to go out there and put a net under the ground, ice and, you know, go hunting and trapping or anything, you know. It's really a catch-22 the way it is set right now, you know.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It very much is. It's very much something that we need to make sure that when folks are spending time in our correctional facilities, that they are being taught skills that they can apply when they get out. The goal of any strong correctional system is to have people not become repeat offenders, and you know, the problem is that we're failing in that department, and we're not taking the steps that are needed to make sure that people can go in there if they need to learn skills such as subsistence hunting or subsistence fishing. You know, not having options to a program as soon as they leave jail to learn those skills. Then we do see a very, very high rate or percentage of people that return to the correctional facilities. So It's in everyone's best interest. It's a cost savings in the long run for us to invest in those kinds of programs.
Howard, okay. Thank you for your question. Representative Fansler, so you said that you're in support of work reentry programs, electronic monitoring. Is there anything being done in the House to advance those types of programs?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, during the finance subcommittee hearings that we had before the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, you know, there was a lot of discussion about them. One of the things that was alarming to me was Bethel was not even on the list for review for expansion. And so that was something that we changed during our process. You know, we fought for that to be placed on the list, and we advanced that. We also have been very much pushing to make sure that there is funding for those kinds of programs in the budget. And, you know, there were multiple proposals to eliminate that funding, amendments that were brought up that we stood against. We very much pressed to make sure that those kinds of programs are being recognized, not just in one or two locations, but to make sure that every facility is concentrating on those programs.
And we have another caller on the line, Hannah from Bethel. Oh, it appears that we lost Hannah. The line dropped. Maybe you'll call back. So, Representative Fansler, you sit as vice chair of the House Judiciary Committee. The Senate Judiciary Committee is working to revise Senate Bill 91, which you were talking about earlier. Is there anything that the House Judiciary Committee is reviewing about revisions to make to the bill?
At this point, we have not heard any bills that have passed through our committee directly speaking to revisions to SB 91. There has been, I think, a lot of discussion about trying to figure out and trying to get the correct statistics to show what maybe is working for SB 91 and what isn't working for SB 91. So what I think is that there will be some bills that will probably be passed through our committee. You know, I don't know an exact timeline, but I would say here in a couple of, you know, I would imagine before the end of this session and go from there. So I think that, you know, there are, we've heard some bills on forfeiture. We've heard some bills, but that's a civil forfeiture bill. But it does kind of tie into some of the criminal aspects of it. We've heard a lot of bills that have been coming through in the judiciary bill or in the judiciary committee. We heard one about changing the schedule for pink, which is something to cut heroin with. We've heard, more than a couple bills that have come through. One of my bills has gone through there. That's a bill to provide a funding avenue for Alaska Legal Services. So I would presume that when it comes to SB 91, we will hear something, but I think we're taking a since a lot of it is so new and the data isn't there, it's seems that in the House, at least, we're taking a much more wait-and-see kind of approach.
And we have 5 minutes left, and we have a caller on the line, Robert Hoffman. Hi, Robert.
Yes, ma'am.
What's your question for Representative Fansler?
A question with a problem that we're having in our region. Our people that have deceased here in our region are taken away by the state of Alaska and brought into Anchorage, was just like that, but after they're done, the requirement is to have them embalmed and go through that clinic over there, and we have a problem of them returning, and our people have to go through the most cheapest ways to have them embalmed. If the state takes away our people so easily, Is there a way that they can return them back to their loved ones with assistance rather than having them have the full burden?
And we have 3 minutes, Representative Fansler.
And thank you, Robert. I'm not quite sure, what a good solution to that is right now. I definitely understand that problem, and it's certainly something where we do not have the facilities to do that in Bethel at this time, but I'm certainly willing to work with you. If you'd like to reach out to my office, that would be great. You can always call me directly at 465-4942, or you can also email me at rep, that's R-E-P, .Zach, Z-A-C-H, .Fansler, @akleg.gov.
Okay, I'll do that, sir. But that's the problem we're having. The state takes away our loved ones so easy, but we have to have the burden of ourselves to return them back. And most of the time, people don't want to have them embalmed. Cremated. But that's the cheapest way that they can get their loved ones returned. And I'd like to see the state of it so easy for them to take our loved ones away, to have them investigated or whatever, to also assist in returning them to their loved ones. I'll give you a call sometime, Zach.
I very much appreciate that, and thank you for your comments, yes.
Thanks. Bye.
And we just have a couple minutes, and I want to share an email that we got. It's from Mark Leary, Director of Development and Operations for the Native Village of Napaimute. And he asked, if some of the money from the proposal to triple the state's motor fuel tax could be allocated to establish and maintain the Kuskokwim Ice Road. He says he's even willing to travel to Juneau to talk about the importance of the ice road with the legislature.
Yeah, thank you to Mark for his email there. I actually spoke with him yesterday, I think, on the phone about this very proposal. He'd reached out to us, and we are very much in talks about that. It's my understanding that the ice road used to be maintained as a state highway. While we're discussing the motor fuel tax that's coming up, HB 60, the governor's proposal, we have very much been in favor of trying to either find exemptions for our region or very much trying to find ways that money can stay in our region. And we've been working hard on that, that's something that we care a great deal about.
Representative Fansler, I'm going to have to cut you off here.
Okay.
And thank you so much for joining us this morning. Thank you to everyone who called in. And please join us next time.